Hey folks, how's it going? Thank you so much for tuning in to Talking BizTech. Welcome to the season two episode. And today we are going to explore the show business in Canada. But before we do that, I just want to thank All Innovative Solution. It is AI Production. So AI Production is a content studio that produces audio and video contents. It is also a digital hub that provides content marketing and video marketing services. So, and AI Production is currently working on their website. And if you want to get to know more about it, just contact me. My website URL is down in the description box. So now back to the topic. Let's talk about the show business in Canada. Show biz, in short, is a vernacular term for all aspects of the entertainment industry. The business side of the industry, of the entertainment industry, includes managers, agents, producers, and distributors, as well as the manager, I believe I already mentioned that. And the creative side, the creative element of the entertainment business includes performers, writers, musicians, artists, and technicians. The modern industry is also associated with the fashion industry, which is why it is creating fashion and trend. The market is expanding because of the global media, such as the TV, the streaming media. Radios are very popular because people are driving cars. And video games itself is a very large industry, which is why websites like Twitch is so popular. However, even though the business show business in Canada is booming because of its diversity, there are some limitations because of the COVID variant. I mean, it is creating some sort of challenges that we will touch base with. I mean, before we expand on that, I just want to introduce my guest for today's episode, who is Michael Onubulu. Michael Onubulu is an account executive of the company called Fix Software. He is also a musician and an entrepreneur. So let me just go ahead and bring him on Talking BizTech. Michael, thank you so much, sir, for your time.
Hey, how's it going, Chief Keith? Thanks for having me on, buddy.
You're very welcome, sir. And Mike, can I call you Mike, by the way?
Yeah, whatever works for you.
So Mike, before we jump into exploring show business in Canada, I just want to get to know you a little better. And I do this with all my guests. I'm just curious to know your background in terms of your education, and if you can also tell me more about yourself.
Sure. So background. So like you said, my name is Michael. My background is, went to high school, went to high school in Brampton, St. Margaret DeVille, and I went to university in Waterloo. So you and I went to school together. We were at Laurier, Wilfrid Laurier University. And and then what was your other question? Sorry.
Oh, and can you tell me more about yourself?
For sure. So when I was in school, I studied accounting. So I made business was my, I got a BBA, and I also concentrated in accounting. I worked at an accounting firm, audit firm. Thanks, man. Worked in an audit firm for 6 years, roughly. I had pretty varied experiences working wise. I was president of Students Union for a while. So that was really cool job that I got to do, which was honestly a blessing and huge learning environment, huge opportunity to connect with people from various backgrounds and walks of life. And then moved over to accounting, where I worked as a senior associate. So I was leading jobs, leading audits, stuff like that, working on teams. Sometimes I was doing the work, sometimes I was managing what was going on. But yeah, that was a cool experience too, in terms of just like, you know, really from, you know, solving problems standpoint and just, you know, really being curious, trying to learn more. That was cool. But it was also really busy, a lot of hours. And I knew pretty quickly that, you know, once I started working full time, that I really wanted to dive more into music, because it was something that I was always interested in, like growing up. And I feel like I felt like it was just something that I really enjoyed and I really took seriously as like something I could do really and truly, like as like a career kind of thing. And so at that point where I was working full time, I kind of just realized, like, you know, life's short, like, you know, life is long, but it's also kind of short. And so I want to really just pursue the thing that I really want to do. And I did have a plan, like in terms of why I wanted to do accounting and everything like that. But I just kind of felt like it was one of those things where I was starting to get older and I was like, you know what, man, I really just want to be doing music. And so it took me a lot of like soul searching and, you know, having conversations with different people that were doing it already. I was fortunate that my younger brother was doing it already and stuff like that and seeing a lot of success. So I just wanted to, you know, branch out and try my own thing. So eventually bit the bullet and left accounting and, you know, pursued a career in music. And yeah, that was tough. I don't know if you're looking for like a life story here, so I just got to give you more context. But yeah, that was tough. I mean, it's not easy to go from like a full-time, like, you know, salary stable job to like, you know, I'm trying to like make it in the music industry independently. So I did end up taking like, you know, more like part-time work and stuff like that, just like pay the bills while I also like spent a lot of time working on music, like formed a group and stuff like that, you know, bunch of people who were really talented and did some shows and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there was a period where I was like, hey, I want to try my solo thing, and tried that for a bit. That was really, really tough. And then all that learning and eventually get to a point where, well, I got to a point where, you know, I started a relationship and I was really like, hey, I'm fine to like struggle on my own, trying to make this dream happen. But, you know, with someone, I was like, maybe I should try and find something a little more stable. So still definitely very much like focus is, you know, I want to make my dreams happen, but also was like, you know, I think it's a good time to like try and, you know, have a bit more stability and, you know, the way my days are structured and stuff like that. So
yeah,
started working in software sales and, you know, been a blessing completely. Like, the company I work at is great. People I work with are phenomenal and it's really suited to my strengths. Plus I get to really just be who I am, like express the fact that, you know, I love making music and I want to continue to, and there's a dream as to why I do it and the message that I want to put out there. But in the meantime, really just, you know, being in a place where I feel like there's a balance in my life where I'm not really like struggling day to day, like pay bills or, you know, manage my lifestyle, but also I have room and flexibility to work on the things that I really want to see come to fruition, you know, present day and in my future. So yeah, Cole's note to where I'm at.
That's amazing.
Thanks, that's man.
Amazing, sir. Because, you're like, first of all, you can talk about your life story. That's what amazes me, because it's fascinating, and also the way you're balancing your work and your life. And actually, my next question to you would be like, what does a typical day look like for Michael Onubulu?
That's cool, man. It's different. I mean, these days are different than how it looked maybe even like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, you know, when I was really kind of like on autopilot, wake up in the morning, get ready or whatever. I usually have like a morning meditation with some people that I know, which I'm really grateful for. So we'll do like some Qigong, which is like a breathing meditation, like a workout kind of like breathing meditation, which is really cool. Yeah. And then after that, I'll jump into my work day. So, you know, work 8:30, 9 roughly till whenever, like 5, whenever. And then after work, I, depending on what day it is, I'll either have like some meetings, you know, personally. And then when I was more in writing mode, that would be when I would start writing. So after I had my meetings, do like my workout, and then I would, you know, jump into working on some writing, have some food at some point.
Yeah.
And then that would be like the typical work week. And then on the weekends, I would go to the studio. So Saturdays are like dedicated studio time. So I'd just be there from like anywhere from like 10 or 12 to like 5 or whenever. And so, yeah. That's was typical, like what it looked like this past year before. These days, more so in like recording mode and like promotion mode, so like strategizing and stuff like that. So days after work more so look like, okay, what's the plan in terms of like promotion? What's the plan in terms of like video? What's the plan in terms of like, you know, setting up, like, you know, organizing like studio time for like other projects that are being worked on, and, you know, it's more, it's less writing right now because a lot of the writing's been done. And now it's more like, hey, like, how do we reach the audience? How do we reach, you know, the broader people that we're trying to share this message with, you know, hopefully resonates with people. And also, how do we get these projects like completed, right? So that's what days look like today.
Oh, that's awesome. Like, it's good that you're sharing me these things, because it's good to learn about, I mean, you're really good with time management, and it's good to learn about the time management skills, because I'm just like you, I'm also passionate about music, but then again I'm passionate about movies, and then I'm also passionate about podcasting, right? So it's like my passion is kind of split up, so like I could learn a lot from you about time management skills. And you know, I'm like, and one thing that I'm proud of is that we went to the same universities to do our undergrad. And I want to know about your experience as a student president. When you were president, you actually met a lot of people, and that includes me as well. I just want to know, first of all, your journey, and then your experience as a student president.
Okay, for sure. First, in terms of like the time management, the organization and stuff like that, look, bro, I'm not like the best at that stuff. Like, I feel like the right motivation will help you get there. You know what I mean? So like, you're serious about like doing music and doing movies and all that stuff, you'll find a way to make the time, you know? Yeah. So that's been my experience personally. Doesn't mean that it's the same for everyone, but for me personally, like, I always found that I was always like kind of just doing things last minute or whatever. I still kind of am like that. But the difference now is like, you know, I start to see the results of taking action like that. So for example, if I'm just trying to do all my projects last minute, like maybe they take longer than I wanted them to, right? Maybe I want something done in like a month and it took me like 3 or 6, right? Oh. So from that, you know, I've learned to iterate and just be like, hey, you know, I have to have a plan. So like, for example, this past December, use like a Gantt charts, like, you know, stuff you learn in like business school, just like how you're going to plan out your process for getting this project done and what your bottlenecks are and whatever, right? So I took a Gantt chart template, put all the projects I wanted to do, you know, for that month of December as well as into the new year on that chart, and then just laid out the calendar of like when we're going to get what done. And then my buddy that I work with, Carl, who handles like engineering and you know, pre-production, a lot of like the executive production kind of stuff, you know, he went and added other columns like, hey, like, you know, mixing, what level of mixing are we done at, you know, like just all the different technical elements that we also need to look at getting completed. And so that was highly effective for us, because normally we could finish a song in like, you know, a month or something, you know, we could record a few songs, but like getting them to the final product stage was like took forever. This December, we got 7 songs done. You know what I mean? And so it was like, we just were organized, you know what I mean? But like, we didn't start there. We didn't start doing things like this, like using Gantt charts or like being that level of organized. It was like, we had to learn that, like, look, man, if we don't really, you know what I mean, organize ourselves, like, we're not going to get shit done, right? And so it took conversations of like, yo, when we get in the studio, we're just working, we're not talking, you know what I mean? Like stuff like that, where you just learn to really just do this thing properly. Yeah. So I just want to give you some encouragement. Like, you know, even if you're not feeling so organized today, if you really want to do this, bro, you'll find a way to make yourself organized, because it's the difference between like, are you going to make it in your dream or not? You know what I mean? So when you think about it like that, bro, like, I'm sure you'll find a way to make it happen. To your other question around like journey and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you specifically mean like just as a student, or what do you mean specifically in terms of journey?
Well, you know, like, how did you, first of all, your journey of being a student president, and then, and then afterwards, like after, like that. And so I guess the experience
part. Yeah, for sure. Being president was like a huge experience in my life, like huge, life-changing experience. Like it was for me, it had a lot of meaning. You know, obviously being able to like represent students and put into action the things that were important, people voted on that you know, they expressed like, hey, this matters to me. Being able to like actually work to make those things happen means a lot to me, and because I know it means a lot to a lot of people. So That was huge. The other thing that was huge for me personally on was like, I've always been someone who was interested in like, you know, how do we change the world? Like, how do we make the world a better place? Like, what can we do? I want to be involved. I want to do that. You know what I mean? Whether it's politics or whatever. Right. And so being president for me was like a microcosm, like just like a small example, not a small example, but like an example in a smaller setting, you know, compared to like being on like a country or global stage. Right. So like, what does it take to get different parties involved to make change happen, right? What does it take to actually enact something from a policy standpoint? And so I wanted to kind of see that experience. I wanted to see if I would actually be able to, you know, manifest change from an idea, from like a dream, and from like getting people, you know, getting ideas out there that people resonate with and that there's traction on and people can get behind. And so it was a cool experience in that perspective, because for me, it taught me a lot of things. Like one, like I had this really big pie in the sky idea of what I was going to do as president. And like, even though we hit every marker in terms of like what the goals were, it wasn't to the scale that I imagined. You know what I mean? So if it was like, yo, I want to make sure, you know, like financial literacy was like one of them, like to make sure people felt like, you know, they could manage student life from like a financial aspect, understanding like how to navigate, you know, getting tools, stuff like that. Right. Yeah. So like in my mind, when initially pitching that idea, it was like, yeah, we'll teach people like the fundamentals of like how to manage your money, like how to invest, you know what I mean? Like all the things that like, I'm thinking like, it's going to be huge, you know? And it worked out in a way where it was like, yeah. So we implemented a student plan program. So it was like, if you look at like your benefits plan as a student, like there's like, you know, financial literacy calculators in there that can help you, right? So it's like the big picture idea where I'm thinking like, yeah, we're gonna put all these sessions, whatever, worked out to like an app where you could like access that stuff. But like, yeah, how many people did that? How do I know? I'm not sure. Do you know what I mean? So like, yeah, we did what we said we'd do, but was it the way I imagined? Not necessarily, right? And so it's things like that. And then also like looking at how long policies take like to actually implement. So like, for example, you know, thinking like, hey, we're gonna try and, you know, save students money here. We're gonna look at like some of these contracts from like a food services standpoint, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of those things that I would like start the year negotiating, we get to the end of the year and either like we would just get the signature, so like it's gonna start the year after or something, or like someone else after me is now gonna have to pick up where we left off. You know what I mean? And so it just takes a really long time to make like these big changes, you know what I mean? Yeah. Things that you might think like, oh, it's quick, like we agree, so let's just write it down and, you know, move forward. It's not like that, right? So I really learned that, you know, these things take a lot of time, and like there's nothing necessarily wrong with that because you want to obviously do your due diligence. But for where I was at in my life, I was like, you know what, like maybe policy and politics isn't necessarily like where I want to start, right? And I never thought it was going to be where I wanted to start. But that experience really taught me, like, I want to do other things that I feel like maybe will have a, you know, a bit more of an impact sooner. And so, anyway, long story short, man, it was a great experience. But it also taught me that, like, you know, one, working in a team is brilliant. Like, it's so critical to getting anything done. Yeah. Having people that are on the same page that, you know, bring their ideas to the table, like, work together to get something, make something happen. It's critical for anything that you want to accomplish, right? No, there's no one, I don't think anyone gets anything done on their own completely. You know what I mean? The other thing though was like, I was like, hey, I really don't want to jump into politics until like maybe I'm like much older and much wiser and, you know, have that, you know, I'm in that place in my life. But then also when I started working in audit, like in accounting after that experience, I realized that like I had such a high level experience as like president, where you're making these big strategic decisions and you're planning out the approaches and all kind of stuff. To go from that to then like working in a position where you're doing like a lot of like entry level to like mid entry level work, you know what I mean? Like there's nothing wrong with it, and I actually do enjoy that to a certain extent, but it's not the same as feeling like you're making this big impact. You know what I mean? Like at least for me, like, it didn't feel like I was like, you know, steering the ship. I wasn't turning direction things were going. I could impact as much as my role was, but to turn the whole ship didn't really feel like I was having that kind of an impact. And so I just felt like I had more potential than what I was doing. And I feel like, you know, that's fair to say, but you always got to pay your dues. So there's nothing wrong with continuing to like operate and just do what you have to do with that entry position. But I knew in my mind, like my big dream has always been to, you know, how do we make large scale changes, right? And so thinking about that, I felt like I had more room to do that as an artist, at least in the beginning as an artist, than I did as an auditor. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And so as an artist, my dream has always been like, I want to actually impact like thought, right? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like artists get this unique position of being like philosophers, right? And I always like really looked up to philosophers growing up, and that's always something that I wanted to be in. I felt like as an artist, I get to just share my thoughts, share my ideas, put them in music. And, you know, obviously, hopefully they're sonically pleasing and you enjoy listening to them from an entertainment standpoint. But then also from like the content standpoint, like if these are ideas that people resonate with and they actually like really enjoy, then hopefully these are things that would then impact how we think about our society and how we operate, you know, individually and collectively, to then, you know, make larger scale changes down the line, whether it be like how we invest our money or, you know, policies that then get enacted later on. Mm-hmm. So that's the dream, man. That's really what I'm trying to do.
It's amazing. I mean, you gain the teamwork, and the leadership skills. And like you said, like you mentioned, that you want to focus on other things. And then later in life, you want to go back to politics. And this is where I want to talk to you about the other things that you're doing and music. I want to talk about the music scene in Toronto. Toronto is the best place for live music. It offers, there are top venues that I actually want to talk about. So it's basically, number one would be the Horseshoe,
the Tavern,
Drake Underground, Red, Dakota, and another one would be at the where
DJ Revival,
right?
It
has a Toronto has a thriving audience for hip hop artists, jazz musicians, and as well as country musicians. Also, there's one more, the indie rockers. It's a haven for indie rockers. So I have a question for you. Can you tell me about, can you describe the show business? The entertainment industry in Toronto, especially the music scene.
Yeah, for sure, man. That's a pretty big question. So I guess you treat it open-ended, so I'll answer it open-ended. In terms of like, I guess the show aspect of it, so like live performances, stuff like that. Yeah, there's different levels for sure, right? Entry-wise, like definitely, you know, tons of open mic opportunities where, you know, you really just get to like go to a bar, go to a different location, what have you, and perform. You're put on a list, you get to perform, like whether it's like original content or covers or whatever, and people just get to enjoy, and just, you know, if people like it, they'll give you feedback afterwards and stuff like that. Build your network, you know, meet other artists who are doing similar things. It's a cool opportunity. I did a ton of it. I will continue to do a ton of it. I still do it because it's a lot of fun, and it's also a great way to build up your skill set, practice, and meet new people who just love the art form. I've done that at a few different places. I did that a lot at Drum Taberna, shout out Drum, which is at Queen Augusta in Toronto. So I would do that a lot there. It was like a second home for me. And there's another spot, Bovine Stacks Club, which is like down the street on Queen Street. Also big rock location as well, but they also had open mic scenes. So I would do that there. And there was another spot on Queen called Nocturne, which was a really cool spot. They closed it down in 2018, but did a bunch of shows there, like, you know, paid shows as well as like other kinds of stuff. So those are like, you know, big spots where I would frequent. Horseshoe Tavern was another one that I would go to. I know they're like part of like Canada Music Week. Like people perform at those venues, like through Canada Music Week and stuff. I've met a lot of really cool artists there. Potential collabs that, you know, I wanted to look at and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So there was lots and lots of really cool things that, that happened in these different locations. But what I'm trying to get at is like, so entry level, you look at like more of these like open mics and stuff like that, where there's not really like much of a bar to, stop you from kind of performing. Then you can look at other types of shows where maybe like a promoter will put on like a showcase, which I've done as well, where, someone will like get a venue, and they'll work with, the venue runner, like people who run the venue, basically be like, hey, we're going to put on a showcase. Maybe they'll sell tickets. So like each performer can like sell a certain number of tickets or whatever. Maybe you get a portion of sales, and the venue gets to walk away with like the bar, bar sales or whatever.
Yeah.
And so those are opportunities too, right? Again, another way to like really like lower barrier of entry. Maybe you have to like, you know, pay a little bit upfront, or you get a, like a portion of, you have to sell a certain amount of tickets and a portion of that goes to the promoter. But again, like, you know, you can get on those fairly easily. And again, another way to just practice like performing. After that, you start looking at things like, okay, do you want to like run your own show? Now that's, you know, really far down the line where you have more of an audience, but you know, you can look at getting on the bill of someone else's show. So like if it's like lead, you know, artists, you know, bigger name industry artists, if you can get on a, like a bill with them, those are always a good look. Cause then now you're, you know, presenting to their audience. You know, it's not as much pressure to try and get like the show performed, like show on, cause tickets are going to be sold through that, you know, leading artists and stuff like that. So those are like, again, next level up, really just getting your name out there. And then once you start feeling more comfortable to like have your own show, you can obviously run those. So different approaches to that, whether it's like, you know, you're in contact with like a particular venue, and you try and like sort that booking out yourself. You can look at actual booking agents. So like getting someone to book your show, you know, at different venues, and then you work out what the splits are going to be and what the agreement is with the venue, as well as with the booking agent, the promoters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's different websites that you can use to like, you know, kind of like automate that process. So like, I think like Sonic Gigs is another one of those where it's like, you can actually just go to the website, look at different locations or whatever that are looking for artists to perform at, and then work out whatever the terms are. You know, they'll usually put like what their terms are, or, you know, negotiable terms or whatever. And yeah, try and, you know, build a tour out of that. So there's lots of different approaches to it. Yeah.
Is that the spelling?
I got to double check the name of the site. I believe it's Sonic Gigs. I haven't used it in a while. I mean, COVID and all that, but there's Sonic Bids is what it is. So here, I'll put it in the chat here. There's a chat here. So yeah, so there's like different options like that. Yeah. And then there's other things where like, so for example, there's like conferences and festivals, right? Like those are really big opportunities. So for example, like Indie Week is a conference, but it's also like a festival where it's like just different performances. It's independent artists, right? Indie Week in the name. So you can like apply for like, you know, being able to like showcase there, and get on the roster there. You could look at like applying for Canada Music Week, right? That's a bigger, it's a big, you know, stage to be able to like perform at and stuff like that. And network, right? You know, meet with different people who are in the industry. And then there's other festivals like, you know, like A3C, you know, you start looking at South by Southwest, stuff like that. So that's like a broad strokes of performances, live performances. And I'm sure there's people who know much more than I do, but that's my knowledge anyway.
I have a quick question. So since Omicron is happening right now, so is live shows, is it on halt, or is it going to happen soon, or like what's the deal here?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, before Omicron, there were some shows that popped up. Like I was, someone reached out to me with like a show opportunity to perform. I didn't take it personally. The only reason I didn't was because that was going to be in that December period where I had like the big plan to like do a bunch of recordings and different things kind of going on.
Yeah.
And we were also just releasing the video for a single we put out last year called Love Me. So that was all happening at the same time. So like, thanks, man. I should have considered it a little bit more than I did. And I wish I had. I wish I had kind of just, you know, said like, whatever, let's just try and make it work.
Yeah.
But at the time I declined it. I know that the show did happen and it was a good, like it was a success and everything. But yeah, so there were some shows in that little period where, you know, we were between Omicron and the vaccine passports were initiated and everything.
Yeah.
But these days right now, I mean, you can't even dine indoors, right? So there's not really a lot of shows happening right now. But I'm sure they're going to come back with a vengeance, you know, once we're able to. So,
yeah, hopefully, I'm going to be positive here. Hopefully, everything will calm down by next month. Fingers crossed, right? So, because we don't know, we can't really predict the future, but I'm pretty sure, everything will cool down, by next month. And also, you know, like Michael, I'm a huge fan of yours. I love that song.
Thanks,
love
man. Me. Thank you.
Tell me what the song is about, and are you planning to release an album?
Yeah, for sure. So Love Me specifically How that came to be was, so we've been working on a project for a while now, called the One Day Project. So it's basically an album. The idea behind it was like, you know, I always said I would do this one day, and like today is one day, right? It's like, you know, something you're like, oh, I want to do that one day, right? Like, so the idea of the album is like just encouraging people to like make today like that one day, you know? And then telling my story of like that experience of like kind of realizing like, you know, I got to make today one day. And so that's the album. That's like the big dream, but we're not like rushing it. And so in the process of working on that last year, one of my colleagues, you know, who I highly respect, was like, hey, you haven't put anything out in a while. You know, your last like project was released in like 2019, whatever. Like, you got to keep putting out more content. I was like, you know what? You're right. So I thought, okay, let's work on the single that we can put out for this year while we're still working on the One Day album. And so that's how Love Me kind of came to be. I also happened to be at the time, like, I was going to like do like a little like, I was going to like do like a reading at church. And so I was kind of like trying to decide what reading I was going to like present at church and stuff like that, and like give my two cents on what I thought about the scripture. And so I pulled like one of the scripture pieces that I really like, which is where, for anyone who kind of knows the Bible a little bit, but like, Jesus kind of talks about this idea of like, someone asked him like, you know, what are the most important laws or whatever? And he's like, you know, love God first and love your neighbors, you love yourself, essentially, right? And so I was like that. And so I was kind of like writing what I thought about that. And then I was like, I started writing that piece out. And then that's where the idea for Love Me came from. So then I started writing Love Me after I was writing like my thoughts on that, or like writing about that particular scripture. And so when I started writing the song Love Me, the idea behind it is like, the chorus is really kind of like, you know, this it's supposed to be two people in like verse one person, verse two, second person. And so the chorus is like those same two people like kind of going back and forth and like talking to each other. And so the first person is kind of like asking like, you know, do you really love me kind of thing? Because that person, as kind of gets revealed in the verse, is coming from a place where they feel really insecure. And so because they're not really like feeling the love for themselves, even though this other person may actually in fact love them, they're not able to kind of receive it, right? Because they're still kind of dealing with their own love for themselves. And so in their asking, like, do you really love me? You know what I mean? Like, the other person kind of responds like, of course, you know, I love you. You know what I mean? And the interesting line at the end is like, I love you like I love me, right? And it's kind of to say like, you know, yeah, I love you. Like, you know, as if I love myself, right? Like, then the love I'm going to show you is going to be the love that I would have for myself. You know what I mean? But like, if I'm not loving myself, right? Like, my capacity to love you is going to, it's going to be difficult. You know what I mean? Because I'm not even sure how to do that towards myself, right? Like, how can I really know how to do that towards you, for example, right? And so that's kind of the idea of the song, is that like, it presents in a way where it feels very like romantic and like really sweet in the chorus, but there's actually like an underlying story there of like, you know, people struggling to love themselves and then finding it difficult to love in relationships. And it's like from personal experience, right? So, so that's like pretty much the story behind Love Me, is like, it's really just this person, you know, the first person in the first verse kind of reflecting on how insecure they're feeling and how it's making it difficult in their relationship, to like believe whether that person loves them. And then the second verse, it's the person reflecting on how insecure that person is feeling, that first person, and how it reminds them and brings up the feelings of insecurity for that person now, that second person. Right. And so because they're seeing that first person going through this like really insecure phase, they feel insecure because they're like, well, we can't both be vulnerable. We can't both be feeling like insecure or whatever. And it's that fear response, that insecurity responding to their insecurity, that makes them feel like, well, you know, do I even want to be here? And like, you know, it's them also dealing with like loving themselves. You know what I mean? Right. And so it's like basically these two people who are struggling with insecurity, trying to make a relationship work. Which I feel like is reality these days. And it's not like, it's not a commentary on that being good or bad. It's just kind of like, this is just what I've, you know, experienced and what I see in like, you know, different people's lives that I, you know, get to engage with. And it's just kind of like trying to reflect on that, because I feel like good music kind of just reflects on, you know, where we're at, or you know, where we're trying to get to, or where we've been. So.
Wow. That it has it's amazing that it has a broader meaning to that song, but then the best part is you made it very catchy.
Thanks, man.
It is catchy, according to me. I think it's according to a lot of people as well. And also, Tim, it's awesome that how you acted in the music video, you Thanks. And your girlfriend. And actually, I wanted to know if you do you have a plan to get into acting, because as you know, because I'm working on short films and I will be working on short films down the road. I'm currently working on a web series where your name was dropped. I'm sure you saw that, right?
I saw it. Yeah, thanks, man.
I'm making short videos right now just so that, because it's Omicron, I can't really film everyone together. And I'm working on this short film with a friend, and so my question, by the way, and before I ask this question, I just want to say that Toronto waterfront will soon be home to film studios and production space, which is 8.9 acres to be exact. And other cities will also be a film hub such as Hamilton. And cool. Hamilton and I believe KW down the road, Montreal and Vancouver, it's pretty huge as well. Toronto is getting a massive new hub for movie studio and digital media. So my question is, okay, so do you plan to get into movie industries besides music?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, right now the focus is really on music. You know what I mean? Like, I really... to be honest, I've spent a lot of, like, when I was in high school and elementary school and stuff like that, I did do a lot of acting. I really enjoyed it. Didn't do as much of it in university. And since then, there was a period where I was thinking about, like, do I want to go like kind of like that acting route? For me, the big reason I really want to focus on music is because I get to control the narrative. I get to control like the message that I get to put out there. Yeah. And a big part of what I'm trying to do is share, you know, like a message, right? Yeah. And so that's my focus right now, is really just getting that message out there, seeing if there's traction, seeing if it resonates with people. And then from there, if it takes off, if it is something that people like, kind of feel, like when they hear it, then I'd love to get into like movies and stuff like that. That makes sense. You know what I mean? Because for me, like, I do base a lot of stuff like on like intuition, on soul, on spirit kind of thing. And I just feel like if it's the right energy, if it's the right spirit, like, you know, it has the right message and makes sense to me, then I'm happy to do it. But if it's like, I feel like if it detracts from like what I'm trying to put out there as a message, then I'm not really, you know what I mean? Yeah. Gotta figure that out. Right. So, so that's really where I'm at. Right now we've got like three projects that we're working on, two mixtapes and an album plus like a bunch of singles. So, you know, this is good for me for now, you know what I mean? But I'm always open to like looking at like other projects, like, you know, acting, whatever. I love art. I love like being able to interpret. I love being able to express. And I feel like that, like, we're all called to do it. You know what I mean? We all have our unique expression. So I'm always happy to like engage with people, collaborate and stuff like that too. So
yeah, it's good that you have a lot of things on your plate right now and you want to get that going for a bit. I do want to see you perform in Waterloo as well, hopefully when things become better. Do you have any plans for tour concerts down the road, did you get any management deals for your music?
Yeah, thanks, great question.
Thank you. Oh, your screen just got frozen. Okay.
Oh, am I frozen? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I can hear you. Can you repeat what you were saying? Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No problem. I was just saying, hey, thanks for, you know.
Oh. Your screen just got frozen. Probably. Let me just try removing you and then bring you back. Mike, you there? Apologize to the audience, to my viewers. Michael Onobulu is having a internet connection, so let me try getting him again. Just Let's have to wait for Michael Mbulu to come back. Then hopefully we'll get things going here. Let me just wait for him. Moment. Let me just clarify. As we're waiting for Michael and Will, let me just talk about his new single. His single is out. So it's called Love Me. And okay, so he's back again. So perfect. Michael, can you hear me? Yeah.
Okay, yeah, perfect. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
sorry about that.
No worries.
Okay, all good.
Yeah, you were saying, sorry. Do you want me to repeat the question or? Your screen got frozen again. Let me try this again. Yeah, I just have to wait for Michael to get his internet connection fixed. So I'll just have to wait. Let me share the single again. So this is the single. And like he mentioned, the album is called One Day, and he's actually working on it right now. Perfect. He's back again.
I'm so sorry, brother.
No worries. Mike, you were saying, or do you want me to repeat the question?
No, I remember. So I was just saying, like, hey, thanks for encouraging me to come out to Waterloo and do some shows. That'd be awesome. I'd love to.
Yeah.
And in terms of like touring and stuff like that, definitely want to get some shows going in terms of like, you know, locally, like in the Ontario region, and wherever. And then, like, if there's an audience that wants to hear me anywhere, like, I'm happy to come by and perform. Definitely want to connect with more people and stuff like that, especially once we're able to. But yeah, man, the big thing for me will be like focusing on getting the content out. Reaching broader audiences in terms of like just getting people to hear the music and hopefully enjoy it. And then my focus after that, once we've got like the music out and the visuals and stuff like that, before COVID, I was planning on putting on like this big show that was going to be like, you know, part, you know, a show that I perform at, but also like part showcase where I was going to get other performers to perform, and the proceeds were going to go to like people who are experiencing homelessness as well as mental health, because like a lot of that, you know, oftentimes goes hand in hand. Not to that's the case in every scenario, but just wanted to focus in on those kinds of initiatives. So that was the goal before COVID happened. So probably just looking at picking that back up would be a great way to kind of like get back into things once we're able to.
Yeah, fingers crossed, and that's a great initiative. You're promoting your music. You're not only promoting your music, but you're also doing charity work on the side as well. And the proceed, like you mentioned, the proceed will go to these charities. I just want to know, how are you promoting, like what digital channels are you using to promote your music and tour concerts?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, there's the stuff like getting on different playlists like Spotify, Apple Music type playlists, stuff like that. Yeah. There's also looking at like the different blogs, right? So whether it be like Hot New Hip Hop, About DX, like Ear Milk, the different various blogs that people kind of like go to like hear new music or just keep up to date with what's going on with music. And then you've got like a lot of the Instagram accounts that are like more like kind of like blog kind of accounts. So like, you know, the Six Buzzes of the World, you know, Hip Hop Canada, rapper, like Toronto rappers, like there's different one, like different Instagram accounts that kind of newer artists.
Yeah. Sorry. Your audio got cut off.
One sec.
Yeah, I can hear you now. I can't really hear you. I apologize.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Sorry about that. My headset disconnected there for a second.
Oh.
But yeah, so no, what I was saying was that there's like Instagram like blog accounts that will promote like a lot of like you know, like different hip hop acts, like whether they're like bigger acts or like newer independent kind of acts.
Yeah.
So stuff like that's a big use case. And then looking at TikTok, promoting on there and stuff like that, and different people who you know, like have like larger followings that'll like utilize your music if they like it and stuff like that. Promoting on different YouTube channels where people use your music for intros and stuff like that. That's another path and avenue. Excuse me. And then outside of that, man, you're looking at more like PR type stuff. So getting your stuff, like getting press kits, getting your stuff in front of like you know, radio DJs,
yeah,
you know, different avenues like that as well. So there's a lot to it. And obviously there's like word of mouth, right? Like just organically people being like, man, I really like this, telling their friends, telling their family, and seeing reach that way too. So lots of avenues to explore. And it's an art form and a science in and of itself. So, you know, obviously trying, you know, different things and iterating that process, but also looking at people who are like experts in that space to leverage their knowledge and expertise and their wisdom to help reach a broader audience too.
I agree with you. A lot of avenues for you to explore, and just happy for you to embark in this journey. And also, Michael, might have to end this show because you know, like the internet connection and also technical difficulty. So I'm just gonna end it with one last question. And also, this won't be one and done. I would love to have you again.
Sure.
I am a big fan, so you're always welcome on Talking BizTech.
Thanks, Chief. Thanks, Keith.
Not a problem. So my last question is, what advice do you have for the upcoming and new musicians in Canada's entertainment industry, and what sort of management deals that they should they look out for?
Sure. Biggest thing I would consider or recommend or suggest to a new artist is really just believe in yourself, as cliche as that sounds, but also believe in yourself in such a way where it doesn't matter how long it takes.
Sure.
You know, like for me, like the big thing that I would think about when I would think about, you know, do I really want to do this? Do I really want to do music? Like, even though I really like love it and like, you know, it'd be like a dream come true, like, am I really gonna like, you know, throw it all into like this idea of like what I really want? I think the big thing that I had to realize, and that someone that I worked with at my accounting firm helped me realize, was you know, one day he just kind of asked me like, you know, Mike, when are you gonna change the world? I was like, oh man, you know, like one day, like I'm gonna do that one day, whatever, whatever, right? And he's like, no, seriously, like when, right? And I'm like, man, I don't know, like, you know, whenever the time, like one day, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, you know what I heard hell is? And I was like, what? And he's like, hell is when you get to the end of your life and you see what your life could have been like if you'd only tried. You know what I mean? And so for me, when he said that, like, that's like when it clicked, when it was like, you know, I'm on this fence because I'm scared of trying. I'm scared of like, you know, what if it doesn't work out, right? But then I realized, like, you know, with what he said to me, that really the only time it's really a fail is if I stop trying, right? If I don't try, if I stop trying, if I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna give up, like, I don't want to do this, that's when I failed, right? And that's when it's like, well, yeah, of course I'm gonna be disappointed, right?
Yeah. But
if I try for the rest of my life to make this happen, you know what I mean? I mean, this is the thing that I want to do with my life. So, I mean, that's success. I mean, in the sense of like, you know what I mean? Like, because I mean, at the end of the day, like, I give it everything. You know, I go out having given it my all to like make this dream come true. Because to me, the alternative is like, if I didn't try for the stream, if I didn't try to like make this happen and put this message out there and try to impact the world in this like way that I really dream of,
yeah,
then I would feel like I never even did anything anyway. You know what I mean? Even if I kept, you know, like, you know, a really nice job and, you know, did all these like really cool things with like all this money that I could make doing something else, like I would still feel like there's like this thing that I never got to really fulfill. And that's what I don't want. I don't want to look back on my life and feel like I didn't give it my all to try and make my dream happen. So that's my advice. That's my suggestion to anyone who has a dream. Like, just give it everything. Like, what else are you going to really do? You know what I mean? Like, clearly you feel called and you feel tied to this thing. So then what else is really as important at that point? So that's that. In terms of like management and stuff like that, I would just recommend that anyone you consider working with, make sure you trust them. You know what I mean? Like, make sure that's someone that you really feel has your best interest at heart, and you know, you have their best interest at heart, and you guys are like resonating on the same frequency. You know what I mean? Cause I feel like it'd be suck really to like work for someone who's like, yeah, maybe they know a ton about the industry, but they're doing things in a way that you don't agree with, or you don't believe in. I feel like that would create a lot of inner conflict for you, even if you're shooting success. So, or at least for me. So, I would just work with someone that you really trust.
Excellent advice. And I would say, I agree with you, because we have to try something right now, and because down the road you don't want to regret. So that's the main message to everyone. And thank you so much, Mike, for your time. It's great to have you. It's great to have you again. And best of luck with your music career, and also Fix Software.
Thanks, man. Thanks, Chief. Yeah. And hey, best of luck to you as well, man. I see you out here grinding. You know what I mean? You got your podcast. Got like all the projects you're working on, the short stories, mm-hmm. like the visuals that you do, the music. Like, you know, you're really going after it, man. So just keep the you know, you're gonna see it all pay off one day. So, you know, love that, man. Appreciate you. God bless.
But thank you, because I really wanna. I'm always finding ways to collaborate with you, and this is why I'm making. This is why I'm working with AI Productions, just so that we can collaborate one day. So that, I mean, I feel like the KW has a lot of talents, but it's not like Toronto or Hamilton or Montreal or Vancouver. It's not like that, right? So and I believe I can make that happen one day. Man. So I just hope, fingers crossed. But best of luck to you, and I always, you know I always got your back. So
right back at you, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much, so I'm just gonna turn your screen off right now, but just stay right there, and I'll get back to you soon.
Sounds good.
Bye for now.
Take care, brother.
So, folks, thank you so much for tuning in to Talking BizTech. Do not forget to subscribe and hit the notification bell, and. Thank you, All Innovative Production, for making this happen. If you want to know more about them, just make sure to contact me. My website URL will be in the description box. So thank you so much, and have a wonderful day. Bye for now.